welcome to the Lincoln Cast, Giant Bomb Community's Guild Wars 2 podcast. We're actually going to try doing a Lincoln Cast this week.
Yay!
It's going to be short, maybe, probably. I don't know.
From, but well, it's for the week of Guild Wars 2, so it's going to be short. That's just how it's going to go down.
It's for the week of May 25th, 2013. The last one we did of these was like before the Josh Foreman interview, so I think that aired Tuesday, May 7th. And there hasn't been a lot to talk about. But there's been a lot of stuff, but it hasn't been like controversial or things we can discuss. And so this one is this week's podcast is just gonna be like we're going to quick fire through them. If any of the hosts have stuff they want to talk about, we'll go through that and we'll briefly cover what we've been up to. My name's Thurbleton. Hi. joining me today is self-confessed cynic. How you doing?
I'll have something to say, but introduce our other co-host today first.
Oh, yeah. Well, joining us for, I believe, his first time is a guild member of the Lincoln Force, Giant Bomb Community's Guild Wars 2 guild, the Loopy Monkey. How you doing, man?
Also the leader of the Lincoln Force.
Oh, yes, the Lincoln Force, the fan group of Lincoln Force. Is that the Flower Legion?
No, it's a spinoff guild where we just play shitty free-to-play games.
Okay,
oh, sweet.
Though only like three or four of us want to do it, and everybody else hates us because look at us, lesser beings.
Sure.
You got to schedule the event or something. Yeah. We good. So, Cynic, you were about ready to dive into a barn burner of a topic.
I just have a statement to make. So in many parts of Europe and the Northern Americas, houses are designed a little bit different. They're designed like you have different materials you have different designs for your roofs. You may not notice this, but your roofs are slightly differently designed. Your walls are slightly differently designed, and your windows are slightly differently designed. Not much, but in Australia, where our houses are designed for like the most ridiculous summers ever, they're made to shed heat. So like. For example, if you lived in many parts of Scandinavia, northern Germany, places like that, your houses are made to insulate heat. In many cases, they even have like built-in geothermal energy in some parts of Europe to like heat up the house or keep it warm throughout the year. Here, houses they like made to stay cool. So even though it's only 11 degrees Celsius, I am fucking freezing right now. I have like socks on my hands because I don't own gloves. I have two pairs of socks on each of my feet, and I'm wearing like as much of my winter gear as I can, and I'm still cold. Oh my god, it's cold. So yeah, that was my
pretty hot here in Colorado.
All right, now cynic, what is the temperature in Celsius? And
it's 11 degrees Celsius. It's not on paper, not that cold. Like not that cold at all. Like fuck, 2 Fahrenheit. Let's see what Google tells me. 51.8 degrees Fahrenheit. It's not cold, right? You'd think that is a cold, but our houses aren't made to keep any heat in. So just oh my. God.
So, according to the Weather Channel, which hopefully didn't show up on the podcast just now, it is warmer there than it is at night here.
Yeah.
And I'm usually up in the middle of the night.
It's 80 for me right now. Fahrenheit.
And Thurb's like wearing a shirt, aren't you? Like
I'm wearing a hoodie, but I mean.
Yeah.
And see, the other side of the coin is, this will probably blow your mind, but I like usually. Once every 2 weeks is usually when I have to go in there. I have to spend 3 to 4 hours in a room that is negative 20 Celsius.
No, Fahrenheit. Celsius. Fahrenheit. Shit. Fahrenheit. But either way, like that's less than 0 Celsius. So
yeah,
that's crazy. Wait, it's, so
I got to reset the freezers.
Oh right, but do you get like warm gear?
Yes and no. The nice thing about this retail job is like any nice things immediately disappear. And so I just bring in my own.
Oh, yeah.
So I have like a fleece and a coat and gloves and a hat and like wool socks and just this whole
setup. I don't
want
to admit it, but like when I worked at IKEA, I think I've stole like 2 or 3 tape measures and like some tools, like a couple, like two.
There have been so many box knives that have just appeared at my house because I forget.
Box knives are so useful, like so useful for everything. I use them to open letters. I use them to open like packs of chips.
Actually, a question for you, and I'm not sure if this says something bad about me or what have you, but Loopy and Cynic, when you guys do get letters, I guess starting with Loopy, how do you open them? Because I will open them from like the thin
side. With reckless abandon. I just rip it open.
With no care of what?
I just use my thumb and I just grab from the top and just rip.
Okay. So you rip long ways?
Yes.
The traditional way where the envelope folds.
Yeah, you have the tongue of the envelope going over. So you put your thumb in between the tongue and the inside of the envelope.
Yeah, and then I just pull.
I used to do that, yeah.
I pull from one corner and then just get the thin bit instead and then just like shake it out.
What?
The contents inside. So like you're holding a letter of like traditionally how you would see the date on the top or the address on the top left in the middle. Yep. I do it where your left hand is. Like that side.
You rip off the side of the letter.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Right. So nowadays I just get a box cutter and like slip it under between the tongue and the back and then just cut it. So it's like nice clean and it's done. So it's open.
All right, I think that's been about 5-10 minutes. I think that's enough to scare off anybody who doesn't normally listen to this podcast. Nice job, guys. So, Guild Wars 2.
Yay!
There's been a couple things happening. I guess we'll dive right into the main, like the big hubbub. That was, there's people in South Sun again.
Secret of South Sun.
They're like, it's not that secret. It's actually well advertised.
Yeah.
So I guess Loopy, you are the man on the scene who's spent the most time there among the three of us. What's up with I guess what's happened so far? Because there's more to come by the time this airs.
It's just a lot of events that just periodically happen a lot. For the most part, like the story beat is that all the animals are going nuts and no one knows why, and are attacking this consortium resort that they made. And that's the secret, trying to find out why they're nuts, I'm assuming.
Well, I mean, I could argue that
a
crazy wildlife area that was really a deadly place in November, them putting a resort there is probably enough to rouse up the wildlife.
Probably. And they already had put down investments. They had to go through with it.
Okay. Them being?
The consortium.
Oh, all right. Which what's weird, some people on the forums in the community of Guild Wars Greater are saying like these are by far the most sinister of the organizations that we face.
And I'm yes,
like, they're just businessmen.
That's what makes them the most interesting because they're not pure evil. They're actually people that are just greedy.
So they're all just Scrooge McDucks,
pretty much
wanting a pool of
a lot
coins.
More violent than that, but yes.
Well, it's like good fantasy. In any good fantasy, the really evil guys kind of have like a reason for it. It's just like they're not the dragons who are destroying the worlds because they want to. It's, you know, like it's actually people on the other side who are intelligent and make decisions. Those are the really evil people that are fun to fight against.
Actually, realized? It's EVE Online. It's the whole. Like, they don't have like these. Just like dialoguing bad guys. They just have evil corporations who want more money.
I'm really curious if there are big corporation evil monologues that happen in chat.
Yeah, you guys made me think of how they could make this awesome. They're not going to do this, and I know they're not going to do this, but if they could have players work for and join the consortium, but have other players work for and join the what's his face, the refugees and stuff.
Oh, the Lion Guard, I guess.
Yeah, the Lion Guard. So you could have dynamic events where some players are trying to do one thing and other players are actually trying to do an entirely different thing. So you're kind of having PvP in PvE, but not really.
Kind of like a weird build on the old orders, like the Vigil and stuff.
Yeah,
or
like
an order at a point in the Living Story, you're just like, yeah, I'm on this side.
Exactly. Or like in Guild Wars 1, where it's like the in Cantha, with the Kurzik and Luxon, that would be decided by just straight up alliance battles, PvP. But if you just have like, you have the map, like you, for example, you have this place of like Sun Cove, or keep forgetting its name.
Like South a dynamic Sun. Event starts up and everybody's like, get this objective. The two groups have to come here at the same time and fight.
And or you can have like dynamic events like pop up, but the only people who see them are people who are in the order, or the only people who see them are the people in like the what's his face, the Lion Guard, and they could be like actively working, whether they realize it or not, actively working against each other and like undoing what each other is doing. So you can have like dynamic event chains like you do now, but instead of being purely player versus environment, you could have like the chain develop to a point where the other faction actually has to come in and gets new dynamic events to push the chain back towards the center. And
they already have some of that in there. Like if you're in the Order of Whispers, after you get a certain point in your story, you will just get randomly attacked by assassins. And it will only like happen to you for being in the Whispers.
Yeah, stuff like that, but like applied to players and this South Sun stuff. Like, but I don't think they're going to do that. I'm sorry, but that would, it's, in my opinion, that would be an awesome way to do this. I just don't think they're going to do it.
I think the overflows would cause a problem with that, because there have been a lot of South Sun overflows.
Well, it's
nonstop overflows.
I guess since we're going back and forth on this, what I can say they are going to do is instead, during the, I believe, the Karka event back in November, there is this NPC named it's Kanaksh. This is Silvari, but
he's like the hinted villain.
And yeah,
by hinted, I mean it just tells you in the genes.
He's like the underdog villain, I guess, who he's a marked man for doing something that, like, he was just a pawn, and now he's coming back for revenge. But it's pretty much we're going to have that bad guy, and then we'll have to foil his schemes with another. It's basically the wildlife will go rampaging across the South Sun Cove area, which I'm hoping doesn't result in another Lagfest Karka event, but at the same time, I want those more precursors.
I never got my precursor from that.
Me neither. But I guess one other big thing that people are really, well, it's controversial, people are loving or people are hating, is the new minigame they've added. And I know both of you guys have at least walked in there to get the achievement and then walked out.
No, I didn't even
have a few of the achievements.
I didn't even, I don't even want to support it by walking in. I watched the ArenaNet dev stream on that, and I was like, no, I'm not even gonna go in here.
I guess, Cynic, tell us what it is, and then Loop, you can fill in any gaps or misconceptions that you have.
I can't really tell you what it is because I didn't play it myself. All I know is that what I saw from what I saw of the ArenaNet stream, and there's just people running around, they're crabs and balls.
Hey, fuck that. You know, Oddball? Ever play Oddball in Halo?
No.
It's that.
No, I didn't.
You grab a crab and try to hold on to it for as long as possible.
Oh, okay.
And then you get points. But there are veteran Karkas rolling all over the place.
Okay.
But the Karka aren't the biggest threat. The lag is.
I was not expecting that.
I was expecting you to say the people, but
yeah,
the lag is the more dangerous threat. Awesome.
Yes, the people can like pick up items and throw rocks at you and stuff.
So here is my biggest issue with this. Because, like, face value, it's another minigame, sweet. People are getting achievements for it. Awesome. It's a temporary thing. What I would love to see them do, both to this and to,
I would say K-Brawl. The achievement's not that great.
Yeah, I know. It's people like achievements. But to this and K-Brawl is make it so they're part of like a PvP locker so we can like, as a guild, because I would love to do this with people, like everyone I know on TeamSpeak or something, and we're talking trash to each other.
It has the same problem that K-Brawl has, and that you cannot go in with a party.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, that's what it's missing.
It yanks you out of your party and puts you in a random one.
Mm-hmm. Kind of bumtastic. So it's a fun game. It's just they just need to push a little bit more in the awesome direction.
Yeah, in theory, it's a nice game.
Yeah.
Just the lag kills it so bad. I heard it became less laggy as time went on, but I haven't tried it since because my experience was so soured the first time.
I don't know. I for me, the South Sun stuff.
Also, the bug it had when it was first launched was great. There's an achievement for winning, but the winner could not get the achievement. Everyone who lost got the achievement.
That's a pretty good achievement.
That's pretty great. That's pretty great. Oh, God. No,
so that's how I got that achievement.
The South Sun stuff isn't really, like, the Karka, this stupid minigame, I'm sorry, this minigame isn't the focus of the South Sun stuff. I wonder how much work they put into it. They probably put quite a bit of work into it. I bet they play tested it even. But just like going into, like they changed the spawn point for when you warp, where you warp into South Sun now. Like instead
of warping into a portal to Lion's Arch.
Yeah, instead of, like even I went there by ship and I still ended up in that same spot. So like even if you go to the ship or the portal at Lion's Arch, you end up in this like a spot in the bottom right hand corner, which I'd forgotten about.
That's where they put the main resort.
Yeah, there's the resort there, and there's like the little beach you can swim to, and your character gets stripped off all their clothes and given.
I never took the boat. I didn't know the boat led there.
Yeah, I wanted to be different, and Darpleton was like, "Oh, come over here. There's like a working portal," and I was like, "Fuck it, I'm just gonna take the boat." So I walked in, and then it's like, yeah, it's all lush and stuff, and they've put new buildings in there. So what I thought when I got there was like, "Holy crap." They've taken the island and made it lush, and that's not the case. It's just this area, which was previously lush, but there was just like monsters there before. Now is this like sweet resort there, and it's cool. Like I like that they've added all these buildings, these fortifications, these elements of a living world, for lack of less PR-y sounding speak, to the Karka area. But
more than the. Yeah. Flame and Frost thing, this is stuff where we're actually seeing the zone get changed.
Yeah, like proper change.
Yeah, the Flame and Frost is like, oh, we did some events and we've added like walled off areas that are instance content, I guess, with the racks and I keep wanting to say Arby's, but
I've heard rumors of an instance thing in this eventually.
But yeah, actually, yeah, with the expansion they're going to have, or not the expansion, with the second part. Right. The last stand at South Sun Cove. It's going to be
Is that coming next month or is that coming
28th by the time this comes out.
Okay, sure.
But yeah, you have to do a one on one with Kanash, and then after that you can get a party to do a dungeon, I guess. Like this is the same thing as the Flame and Frost sort of thing.
Okay. Cool, I guess. So,
that would potentially be cool. I don't
know. Is that all they're adding? Like what else are they adding with that the update that's coming? I guess we should probably talk about that, right?
In regards to we'll jump into that with the next topic, I guess. But in regards to South Sun, that's all they're doing, that and a monstrous threat of Karka and other South Sun natives.
Yeah, you know what?
Karka Queen. I'm so looking forward to that.
The fact that when you go to South Sun now, most of the enemies you find are these awesome mind flayers, like what would you call them? Those floating things, the things.
Reef riders,
like from they're very reminiscent of.
Reef rider is their normal name. It's the reskinned version for South Sun.
Right. Yeah. Like it feels a lot like the Orion Desert from Guild Wars 1. There's sparse areas with those reef riders like floating around, and you have new drakes that are also there, and
fuck those drakes.
You only see Karka like. Every like just here and there, and I like that. That's about the amount of Karka I want to see.
The more west again. You go, the more Karka you get.
Yeah, and that's the fact that they're sidelined is a good thing to me because fuck the Karka.
No, I would rather fight Karka than those Drake.
The Drake are fun to fight. Like as a warrior, no, they're a bit of a challenge. Like two Drakes, that's hard. Okay.
There is one event that happens. We have to escort a Lion Guard scout. When he passes near the water, it spawns 17 drakes.
Yeah, that's hard.
I think it might spawn 17 drakes because a ton of people. Scale.
No,
oh, does it?
There's only one person, and that one person has been me before. It still spawns all of them.
Well, poop.
Yeah.
And when I was leveling my low-level thief, that was a nightmare.
Yeah, sounds ridiculous. Wait, is this area scaled?
Yes, it scales back up.
Not only that, but the big thing, the big dynamic is, it's not actually, there's three factions. It's the Lion Guard, the Consortium, and the Settlers. The Lion Guards were playing as the Peacekeepers, but
that's why I think it would be awesome if like players worked for the Settlers or the Consortium, because those are the ones that actually are bucking heads.
Technically,
right?
You do that, but it's not really well implemented.
Yeah, it's like they just give like you a buff, and either you can get a gold boost or
all the outposters, a Consortium or a Settler guy you talk to. If you agree to help them, they give you a buff, either a magic find for the Settlers or gold find for Consortium.
Yeah. But that's like nowhere near as I know like propositions like mine, I bet other people have made similar propositions, were considered. I bet they were considered. But and I bet it was just time constrained. But when you tell me that there's like an actual in for some interesting political infighting between players, that could have been so awesome. But it, whatever. I'm not going to harp on it.
I think the bigger thing is like this is a grand scheme project, and sure, they were just like they were a transition team.
Yeah.
So they weren't given a whole lot of resources to come up with something like this.
It also goes against a lot of what they designed the game to be.
Players they working just, together.
Yeah, constant. Guild Wars is the best MMO I've played at doing that. Getting players to work together. Because there's no reason not to.
In a casual sense.
Yeah, in a casual sense of getting people
to work together.
Wow is great
to work together.
I'll help you do that event.
Yeah, wow is great at getting people to work together in a hardcore sense.
Yeah.
Really annoying rating, but we won't go into that because this is a Guild Wars 2 podcast.
Indeed. But I don't know. I think you could still have elements of working together but still be like competitive to some extent. Like actually, it wouldn't be competitive. It would just be like working together but against half the people.
Well, we can transition to that. That's a great segue.
Sure.
For the world versus world changes.
Woo!
But just making sure, Loopy and Cynic, did you have anything else you wanted to add for
the carcass stuff?
Yeah.
Cove. We walked around it for a bit last week before we decided to do Scotch Cast instead. That should pretty much tell you my feelings on it. I don't want to harp on and be negative. I don't want to. I've come into this podcast and bashed Guild Wars 2 pretty much the same, like as just as much as I have like praised it over the last 3 months or 4 months or so. So I will say that, hey, it's a living world. We had the discussion with Josh Foreman about big content updates versus small content updates. And I'm just here looking forward to the next big content update.
I guess there's something positive about it.
Sure.
It's a good way to get XP for a low-level character.
Nice.
Between those events, it's fantastic.
Yeah, I can add two more things. One is the subtler buff, like I said earlier.
I wouldn't really call it a good thing because of what it did to the economy.
Yeah, it's true. It did have ramifications. But it
gives you that'll be gone and things will be fixed.
Huge magic find buff. So you are like you get that plus other magic find gear, and you're like almost guaranteed to get
good scales. 140 magic find?
Good God, man.
Wait, so that's why people were running around 400?
Yeah,
killing all those drakes and stuff for the scales.
For money.
I was wondering. Okay. Because there's lots of people doing that. There was like a bunch of people just constantly running around
killing drakes. Sun is the best place to farm blood and scales.
Yep. Right. So pro tip to people, don't sell anything. Don't sell blood or scales on the trading post for the next few weeks.
Well, by the time this comes out, it should. I don't know if they were going to remove that buff when that happens, though.
But the other thing was there was a whole mess of achievements that you get that gives you either like two different back rewards, and one of them
one
has
back
you,
piece is glorious.
Yep, one of them has you go through one of the most challenging jumping puzzles in the game right now, which was skipping stones.
I would just say because, it's the hardest.
I don't know. There's a couple hard ones in that, but it is a thing for debate.
I think it's the hardest is because it's just long.
It's long, and if you screw up, at least, especially in the first half, you have to do the whole thing over again.
No, if you screw up anyway, you have to start all over.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
In other words, fuck that shit.
Yep. But
that's why Mesmer's been making a lot of gold portaling people to the top.
Yeah, I portaled people for, I think, 2 days, and I made, like, a decent amount of gold, but I was just doing it for because Arena decided to put achievement past the jumping puzzle as a reward. And I'm like,
well, we should note that achievement was not necessary to get the back piece.
No, but it was a very easy option if there were Mesmer's portaling, to which there were an abundance of.
I was one of those Mesmer's for a while, but yes. I wasn't taking any money, so I didn't get anything for it.
Nice. Well, you got feels. You got all the feels for doing it.
Yeah, you got lots of thanks, right?
Yeah.
Right on.
By the guy how to break the dance animations. That was pretty funny.
Nice.
I blew his mind. He did not understand what I was doing.
You can break the dance animation?
The book. The dance book. You can break the dances. And make it so that your top half of your body is still doing the dance, while the lower half of your body is doing something else.
Nice.
So you could be doing the inventory shuffle with your arms and go / sleep, and it just looks like you're punching the ground.
Nice. That's pretty awesome.
Very nice.
And if you're a char, It just looks like you're rhyming your face into the floor over and over again.
I'll need to see video of this, for another time. Anyway, jumping into World vs. World, the premier place for massive groups of people to fight other massive groups of people, or just to run around. I'm not sure how familiar you are with the Obsidian Sanctum. It's the jumping puzzle internal battleground, Cynic.
Mm-hmm. I've heard of it.
It has the fabled Dark Room, among other things.
Yeah, I've done it like twice, as much as I wanted to, sure.
Basically, there's always been a long-running contention with that place about how people going in there are asking in map chat for portals, not really helping with the
The idea is, not only is it like a pretty fun jump build. I'm speaking that as like the over, but people say, tell me it's fun.
It's a very grandiose jumping puzzle.
It's a lot of fun jumping puzzle.
When I escorted the two golems to the top of it.
But like, that's actually pretty awesome. But also like, it's gives you like siege stuff as well. Like there's reasons to do it in a world versus world context. So you actually have like large groups of people doing this jumpy puzzle in the middle of world versus world.
In a world versus world context, it gives you that. What it also gives you are badges of honor, which people would farm on multiple characters, which I believe now they've made it once per account.
Badges of jumping.
They would basically to get your gift legendary. Of battle. Yeah, for the legendary. So that was kind of annoying, having just like this constantly almost vitriol going into map chat of people raging over like, get out of the jumping puzzle, get off this like the server, we're trying to get people in. It's a full queue on sometimes. And so what they've done now is it's its own mini server, where as soon as you teleport in there, you are off the Eternal Battleground server, and if you go try going back, you get back in the queue.
So wait, so you still have to walk through the Eternal Battlegrounds to get there?
Yes, meaning you have to have a keep that owns it. But once you go
There's a reason for that, though. Yeah, exactly. Like, you have to have the keep. You still have to have the keep. Like they're no longer doing it. Like they're not making such that the jump puzzles just for funsies. They're still keeping the PvP element of it in that.
Mm-hmm.
You'll still be tied to a keep, and it'll still have people from the factions which are applicable to your current world versus world versus in there, right? So yes. I guess they kind of have to keep it still linked to world versus world if they want to keep those elements of it, the PvP element of that jumping puzzle. But yeah, it sounds like a good middle ground to at least push that off into its own server, I guess.
Yeah.
Wait, so how long does it take to run the 12? Like, how long are they? How much are they actually diverting from the server?
On average 10 minutes, but more so it's people standing around wanting to get a portal and not do it. But I believe the record, I think the record's at like 3 minutes, 30 seconds.
Okay, that's still pretty important, like to get that server load off by having those people in their own little place. So there's people just like standing at the entrance or whatever looking for portals?
Just like asking in map chat or so, just standing around, but
right.
Yeah.
It's a rally race of portals. Watch checkpoints of mesmers.
Nice.
But anyway, move it on from that. That's just like one side thing that's always been this long running just burden on Eternal Battlegrounds.
Mm-hmm.
They've added traps to World versus World.
So what does that mean? Are these like ranger traps or are they bigger?
They are bigger. I believe they are a rectangle shape instead of like an AoE sort of thing.
Okay.
But near as I can tell how they work is you have to build it like siege would, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And then when an enemy walks over it, there's a brief delay and then it will attack everybody in a area greater than the triggering point.
So is the triggering point like the size of a catapult? Like base of a catapult or like how big are we talking here?
I don't know yet.
Okay. Wait, so that, okay.
I keep buying, sure. Every time I have badges of honor, I usually end up impulsively buying like arrow carts. And then I remember, you can only buy these traps with badges of honor. Crap.
Nice.
So I'll get them. I'll try to get them this week. I don't know. But the two they have are supply removal, and then stealth removal. which right. makes it so that it takes off 5 supply of all the enemies with a max of 20 that are affected by the trap, and removes stealth from enemies and reveals them for 30 seconds to a max of 20. So it's you, if you still have a massive zerg of people, it won't affect you guys too much. But this, like, I guess the idea is to slow down these zergs, but I don't think it works.
I've YouTubed trap World vs. World Guild Wars 2, and all I'm getting is these asshole trap rangers putting up kill videos of like them trolling in PvP in World vs. World. This isn't
awesome.
Really awesome. I guess it's awesome, so, but it's, yeah, fuck Trap Rangers. Yeah.
So, Loopy, have you, like, seen these in action, or have you, like, even tried these out?
No, I have not. I'm not playing World of at all anymore.
For good reason, I guess.
I've been standing in there, but I haven't really been doing it. I guess here's why I don't like this. I like the idea of it, but I can't think of any good things to make as traps. This doesn't really change the dynamic. I mean, it changes like a little bit when you have high tier action of people like, all right, get ready for the massive stealth as we run around this corner so they don't like they can't judge us and like where we are in AoEs immediately. We'll get
more
like,
importantly, no more perma-stealth thieves, because that's just annoying.
Yes, assuming you can like trap them.
Wait, but is the trap once only, or does it just stay there for?
It's once only.
That's annoying.
I'm pretty sure it's consumed. Yep.
Because then you can like trigger it with one dude.
You can buy almost three. You can buy 2.5 arrow carts for the cost of one of these traps.
One trap.
That's too expensive.
One trap is 15 badges, I think.
Bullshit! It's that expensive.
Do you get a bundle of them?
Do you get a bunch? Yeah. Do you get a bunch for that amount, or is it just one? It has to be more than one.
It doesn't show the cost. It just says cost 10 supply to deploy.
Oh, no. Well, yeah.
Maybe there's no building cost. Maybe you have to have 10 supply to drop it.
Okay.
But still, yeah, it's weird.
I don't know. I'm with you in saying that, sure, this is a fun addition, I guess, to WoW, but these are still not the problems we had with WoW.
I like that they're making efforts to try and like, okay, we can do this to try and change it, this to try and change it. And like they've played around with the way arrow carts do for damage and the ranking system, giving you the rewards of like arrow carts give more range. I think that next week they're adding if you use the like burning oil mastery, so you can do more damage with oil. And usually like with a high, like when you put enough points in it, you will eventually get access to a new like ability for that weapon.
Right.
But it really just, you're still zerging around attacking points and
yep.
I could probably count on one hand the amount of times a giant zerg has just run away from a point without the intention of just coming right back 5 minutes later.
Since the last time we talked about WoW, I think that change of reset time happened, right? Right?
Yeah, the reset time was it was to help accommodate the European servers. Basically, sure. It starts like 2 hours later.
Okay.
More so than that, like a better change, and this will be fun. Like this might get me back into it for a couple weeks, but really you're still just attacking points. Mm-hmm. They are changing the way the rankings work. Or rather, not the way the ranking works, the matchup works. So you're still going to have the ranking, they're still going to have the glico system, but there will be a random element to it. So you'll have like the tier 1 server matched against 2 tier 4. So it's like, oh, all right, the tier 1's probably going to dominate, but it'll be fun for them to have just like play the underdogs or guerrilla tactics or something. I don't know.
Sure. And also changing XP. I think WoW.
Well, they're adding more things to do. Like, yeah, I think they're playing with a few of the values. Like, it's
taking they're adding more ways to get XP.
Yeah,
as well.
Okay, good.
But
I guess
it's yeah. The thing I like most about this is that we rotate colors now. Colors do not dictate the rank of the server.
Oh, really? Okay, sure.
Which yeah, I don't know if you knew before. With the matchups, the way it was, red was the lowest ranked, blue the middle, and green the highest ranked. And so unless one team was like got an infusion of activity in the week, they more or less stayed stagnant. And they've been like that for this for a couple weeks. And so people trying to get like world completion have to get in the Borderlands or get in like the green territory, which is very hard to take unless it's like reset night. And they can't get it and they want world completion. They just complain. And so now they don't have to complain anymore because you just rotate colors.
I guess that sounds like fun. I don't know. For me, I've just never understood world completion ever being in World. Like, I'm still surprised that there's world completion stuff in World of
Yeah, that's super frustrating. It just finally got that done.
Like, you may as well put freaking a world completion thing in there for each fractal and a world completion thing in there for each PvP map, because what the fuck?
I mean, I like that there's skill points and there's vistas and points of interest and all that in WoW. I just don't think it should count for
completion.
World completion.
Yeah. It just be there so you can have it.
Who knows?
Who knows?
Another big change, potentially big change, is they're adding a daily achievement chest. 12 WoW.
Yeah, every time you level up in the rank system by getting the world XP, you'll get a like one of the daily chests. What we mean by that is you get a chance for a rare or exotic loopy.
Okay.
I don't remember, but I do know they have not confirmed if that's going to really hurt the Ecto market, because it potentially could.
Yeah. Maybe. I think it's more like, wait, so by daily achievement chests, do you mean you get one every level matter what?
Explain what the daily achievement chests are for people who don't know.
You every time you level up, they said you're going to get a chest. And if you've already leveled up, they will give you retroactively all the chests you've missed.
Right, so but you can't...
And if you can salvage those rares you get, the Ecto market is going to go nuts.
I think what I was looking for more was when you do the world events like Jormag or what have
you. Yeah, it's similar to those chests.
Yeah, you would...
And daily chests and...
Yeah, to fix the... Like, previously you would get like two rares or something, a chance two rares and a chest or, and what have you of the big chest from defeating the boss. Instead, they took away one of those rares and you instead get it in a little like...
Yeah.
You know when you complete the daily?
Guaranteed rare when you do
it. Right, it's the chest you get.
That same chest.
The zone completion chest, like the twinkle on the map. So you get that instead.
Yeah, sure. So, but we don't know like if this is actually going to have the same drop rate as those, or do we know?
No, I don't think they've confirmed that yet. Right. At least I haven't seen.
I think it's a good thing. Like I'm one of those people who finds the Ecto like the economy at the moment kind of silly. Like, I'd just let people have their gear and let people have higher level gear.
Kind of silly.
Yeah. So it's just like, whatever. If it breaks the Ecto market.
And scales are the most expensive thing, and everything else is kind of worthless.
It's weird. Like, just weird. So I don't really care.
Lodestones being the most expensive thing ever is
in
ridiculous.
The world. I'm just happy that the WoW guys get more stuff, because for the longest time, it just didn't feel like there was much progression within WoW. So it's good.
Well, they're getting new stuff. They're also getting infusions and ascended gear in World versus World.
That's a little weird.
That's good.
What I understand is more ways to get it.
Yeah, I think that's a good thing. Because ascended gear is the top tier of gear. So you want. I guess they're not going to be giving you infusions which increase your agony resistance, because that would be silly. But if they give you just straight up fucking like plus stats infusions and ascended gear, that's a really good thing, because. That's the top tier of gear now.
What if there are WoW-specific infusions, like extra damage
versus doors
or something?
That's like kind of the reason they have infusions in the first place, because they said they'd be doing stuff like that. Like
just to really encourage the PV door community?
Yeah.
God. Indeed.
I don't want that. I don't want that.
World versus door. Let's do it.
All right. Nice. And I guess one thing that you might pipe your ears, some cynic, is they are pseudo-unleashing the... like doors on spectator mode. That analogy went nowhere.
Yeah, that went nowhere.
I thought that was fantastic.
I'm tired. No, but the spectator mode, basically they're adding the custom arena time tokens to the gem store. So the top 50 who could do custom PvP matches now have to pay for it.
Yay. I don't think that's a... Whatever. Sure.
It's one step closer to everybody getting access to custom arenas.
And I don't, at this point, I don't think I've had time to think about it. And I don't think it should be the case where everyone should get access. I think it's, they have to do some form of limiting to it, whether it be you pay to be able to make a server, like as in gems, not like you.
I think it is. I think no, you have to pay, like there's a base.
I think,
don't you have to pay like a base gem thing to get the kit to make a custom server?
Okay, sure.
And then that gives you like 30 days unlocked and.
Right. And beyond that, I think it's probably a good idea that it's also rank limited. I call me crazy, but I'm really sick of these. There's problems there that I didn't foresee that I should have foreseen and that are going to still be there, like a billion servers dedicated to just faction farming. So that's like XP farming. It's just like 10v10 free-for-all deathmatch servers, and I just it's what like it just
you mean,
like,
you mean glory farming?
Glory farming, yeah. I keep remembering the Guild Wars 1 terms instead of the Guild Wars 2 terms.
What is faction farming?
It's the same as glory farming.
Well, I actually find this interesting because you said a couple weeks back that you were surprised what the matches looked like looking for, like, based off the top 50.
Yeah.
And you were eager to see it open to the floodgates and see the more interesting types. Because, like, I've been mulling over, like, just when I'm bored at work, I tend, like, the mind tends to wander. And if we did, like, a no respawn sort of thing where it's just like team A has to defend this point from team B sort of thing. And then just base a tournament off that or base matches off that. That would be a cool idea.
It'd be really cool. But like the tools they've given us don't fucking do that. Like they don't really necessarily aren't conducive to interesting stuff like that. Maybe I'm wrong because again, I haven't had access to the tools. Like they haven't really opened it up yet. And so in that case, it's hard because I'm trying to figure out a way that I could suggest, at least that I think ArenaNet might approach the problem of there just being a shitload of boring servers. Like I want a way to encourage people to make come up with new ideas. And that's why I kind of think people who've been in PvP for a really, really long time already kind of know what's fun and can tweak things that way. But as you saw, opening up to the top 50 or however they opened it up at the start, that just made 1v1 servers, 3v3 servers, and fucking 10v10 servers. Like, that's what we got out of it. I'm not sure. I'm not sure what's going to happen. I'm really excited to see those really interesting new things. And in terms of getting opening up the custom arenas, if we can make one as a guild, that would be really cool. So maybe I'm wrong. Maybe they shouldn't limit it by rank because I don't think anyone in our guild is high rank enough anyway. So I don't know. But either way, it's better
Mercy
than how
maybe,
it was.
But he doesn't really count because he's usually hanging out in another PvP guild.
Yeah. So I think they're making steps forward, which is a good thing. As we said earlier, the spectator mode is pretty cool so far. That it's not how I would want it, but it works. I haven't been keeping in tabs because there's been other news that I've been more interested in overall gaming recently. But I want to.
I can't think of anything more interesting than this stuff in Guild Wars 2.
Something important happened.
Nothing. No major announcements for consoles or PC in the past week.
Not at all.
Nothing.
Cod Dog.
I can't think of one reason.
I think the biggest news to ever come out this year has been Cod Dog, and I'm happy that I was there at the.
You mean Call of Duty?
Call of Duty Ghost Dogs.
Ghost Dog. Yeah, it's. Fuck, that thing's great. Custom arenas, PvP, the strides they're making, all good. We will see how this goes. That's all I can say about it. So soon. It's all you, Thurbleton. What else are we talking about?
Not much. I mean, like, it's Commander's map ping strokes. Pings can now be visible by members of the squad.
That's, yay, finally your commander thing is useful. Sort of, kind of, one step closer
to like actually having a coercive unit in a squad. Arena net, please.
Hmm.
I don't know. I just be able to see the other people in my squad on the mini map is what I need. That way, people will know like to stick together. But,
well, now there's new items in the gem store, like mobile crafting station and mobile Mystic Forge.
More than that, the South Sun Supply Crate has gotten a lot of almost a gambling sense of people.
What is that?
Like,
I have opened so many crates.
Yeah, Loopy, tell us about your woes of opening South Sun Supply Crates.
Well. It's one of the new items that dropped during this event in South Sun. Any creature in South Sun can drop it. And it's basically kind of like a black lion chest without a key.
Okay.
It's, well, rare, it's also purchasable.
It's also purchasable. But if you did that, you're bad with money. And the main draw of it is an weapon ticket for these new weapon skins.
Okay.
But it drops so low. And it does have those crafting stations and those Mystic Forge stations, too, in it.
Oh, good.
As well as some other things.
How do they work? Are they just like... So
this drops.
They have 15 minutes?
They just open it.
I mean, yeah. So
oh, the
Mystic Forge station.
I don't know. I know the crafting station... I have not used any of them, but I know the crafting station, you activate it, and it gives you a list of the different crafting stations you can make, and you just pop down on the floor, and anyone can use it.
And it says, create a crafting station of your choice, and your allies can use it up to 15 minutes. Okay, sure. I don't know if that's particularly... I still think when they made like the Mystic Forge stuff a Mystic Forgeable, that was more interesting than this stuff. But whatever. It's all cool. Finally, I think the only thing left to talk about would be... the permanent drop in price of Guild Wars 2.
No, there's one other thing to talk about. But yeah, Guild Wars 2 has dropped. I know in the US it's $10. I think in England it's like £7 or something.
Shrug.
But it's they've made a slight decrease in the price. NCSoft has said that is due to just making it available to a more audience of people who'd like, well, I don't want to spend $60, but I'll spend $50. Mm-hmm. So
I kind of want to see. I'm crazy. I know I'm crazy, but I want to see the other ideas we've floated get. Like, this is interesting, I guess, that they're dropping the price by this minimal amount. But we've, like, even on this podcast, we've said stuff like, what if they broke out the PvP section for free? Or, like, what if they made Guild Wars 2 free to play? Or, like, those are the questions I want to see explored. But whatever. We'll see how this goes.
Yep. The main thing I wanted to float past you guys, at least the main thing that has the parts of the community abuzz, is they've released a lot of APIs. Like, Arena has been making a ton of APIs for all sorts of things. More or less, you can find out the status of any event on any server.
Right.
This recording, the Temple of Palantir is up.
That's cool.
It's so accurate. And
that is why it's a good thing. Like, when ArenaNet came out at the start of Guild Wars 2 and said they were having the app, they're making the app, they're going to do all this stuff that opened up Guild Wars 2 to like mobile platforms and all that kind of stuff. That is all like pretty great from a pie in the sky kind of thing, but APIs are probably the best way to do that. In that the community can probably come up with things. They have come up with things on their own that's far more useful to the community.
One of the most interesting applications so far is on the wiki. You just go to a page for a meta event, and it'll tell you if it's up on a server.
That is awesome. That's so cool. And my own reservation is...
Do you guys know that just in the game you can type /wiki?
Yes.
No, I didn't. I didn't know that, but I...
Oh, wow, I figured it was the other way around. I figured, like, it's... Because I think that was in the original game, too.
No, really?
There are many things I did not know about in this game. That was one.
Yeah, I just... I don't use that kind of stuff. Like, I have multiple monitors for a reason. But, no, I think this API thing is really important when Guild Wars 2's expansion comes out and when we have a flood of players again. Because these are the kind of features... Like what I said earlier with the PvP thing... The changes and advances to spectator mode and PvP and that kind of stuff is important for when the expansion comes out. And they need to get that stuff out of the way and get that stuff locked in and awesome, because that's when a bunch of new players or returning players will come back in.
I'm not quite sure a flood of players is a good thing, considering how their servers are sometimes not so great.
It is for the PvP community, at least. I don't know how
it is. Yeah, it's
true. Yeah.
But it's not so much the flood of people, it's the people come back in this huge wave and they will see how much better it's been developed since then. Since like the first time they jumped in. And like,
and you have people sticking around.
The PvP scene is actually real and possible. And there's these all these different game modes that are happening in PvP. WubWub is this expanded, like, you know, enriched thing, which I'm really hoping they do.
Exactly. Well, and changes like this.
The current state of their servers, after the daily reset, trying to fight one of those dragon events, nightmare sometimes.
Right. Yeah. And that's kind of, but issues like that aside, in terms of like just both like good business decisions.
I will say, it's definitely gotten better.
I want to go forward. And changes like this, making this API and therefore allowing a bunch of awesome community apps and stuff and web-based applications, web-based platforms for like finding events, integration into the wiki, like that sounds like a fantastic thing with like telling if an event is up or not. Those are awesome things that if a bunch of stuff like that is in place for the first expansion, then Guild Wars 2 can have like a second breath of life with that expansion. So I'm excited. That's those are good moves.
Something else that is just, it's not necessarily important to everyday gameplay or even monthly gameplay, but just something I think is awesome. When they released, I think, three APIs so far, the World versus World, the dynamic events, and then the item and recipe database, which I guess you could say is four things, not three, but whatever.
Sure.
People who are crazy have delved into this and have realized that there are roughly, I want to say, 300 recipes that we have not discovered yet.
Okay. And the thought of that is kind of nuts.
It is kind of nuts. I'm not sure if this is exclusively with crafting or with the Mystic Forge or combination of anything like that, but they are now trying to reverse engineer how the API works to the item codes to try and make these things.
I find that's really cute and pretty cool, but I hate to break it to you guys. I'm almost certain those are either just broken recipes or things based off items that were removed for the game or still planned for the game. I don't think they're going to... I love that there's this grassroots movement to like to data mine and all that kind of stuff, and I want to rain on their parade, but I think this is... It's pretty obvious why these things haven't been fucking discovered. Like, I think this is... Unless they find something amazing, like the long rumored legendary armors, I don't see anything happening.
Well, this is a resurgence of the search for that staff that was eventually found to be on Shadow Behemoth, whatever it's called.
Right. Sure.
Loopy, do you know the name of it is?
Final Rest.
That's the one. But just like everyone, like the this whole community effort of people like, all right, we're going to try farming this area in this day, and now they're trying to make this work of recipes and items and everything.
So this is the kind of stuff like that people like Wooden Potatoes would get ultra excited for. More power to him, but it's just not. I don't think it's particularly interesting because I kind of already know why.
We should really see about if he wants to come on the podcast. That'd be fun.
Yeah, it'd be fun. I don't know. Is that it for the week? Like, this is a really short episode.
Short. but yeah, that's like there's a lot of stuff that's come out, but it's just wanted to get this covered before next week. Plus, just do something this week for the podcast, other than Xbox.
And do we want to hit what we've been playing or doing?
I don't know. Are you going to talk about Xbox?
I'm going to talk about it. Well, if you were to pass to me,
Loopy Monkey, what have you been up to this week? Loopy, it's in games, culture, media, experiences. What have you been doing, Loopy Monkey?
I played Skyrim, and by played Skyrim, I played Nexus Mod Manager, the mod simulator. Nexus Mod Manager is a third-party program for managing your mods for Skyrim.
Okay, yeah, sure.
Okay.
Yep.
And I didn't know if that was like
way
I didn't
more
know if that
time
was some sort
on
of
that than playing the actual game.
Wait, so are you just booting the game to see what mods clash with each other?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, cool. So that's what people used to do for Oblivion a bunch. Like, you just, like, put in all the best mod that you can find, and then just keep booting until you can find a specific combination. Yeah, exactly. Yep. Is that what you've been? Is that what you've been doing?
I did that today, and I did yesterday for like 3 or 4 hours, and today for like another hour.
And are these mods you're focusing on?
At the main menu.
Yeah, are these like gameplay mods or are they like graphics mods? Okay, cool.
Like, I have a lot of new spells. How the perks work with combat is different. All the enemies are pretty much as strong as me.
Awesome. That's the, yeah.
I have to eat.
Are you doing the crazy thing with the lighting mod?
And avoid the cold. Hypothermia is a thing in my Skyrim.
I don't like your Skyrim.
It's so dangerous.
I don't like your Skyrim at all.
That is the consensus of the mumble. Yeah. Nobody seems to like how I play Skyrim.
You're playing a terrible Skyrim.
I have to admit, I thought when you said you've been playing with the mod developer, that was some sort of, you know, indie dev tycoon.
Oh.
It was like that, except you made mods for games. You're like, this sounds like a really fun game.
But what would that be based off? Like, you wouldn't, like, indie dev tycoon or dev tycoon, whatever it is,
game dev tycoon.
Is awesome. Game dev tycoon is awesome because like you're monetarily changing, but for like a mod dev tycoon, it would just be like your only resource is time, and you just spend it all on mods, and the only like gains from that is how many people downloaded your mod. That's like the start and end of it. There's no like
The end could be like
being hired by Valve. Like that's it.
Yeah, pretty much. You can be Left 4 Dead
is being hired
or
by the company that made the game rotting.
Portal, DayZ.
And then the game takes a sudden twist, and now you're developing a video game.
Nice.
Which, well,
but a secret twist on top of the twist that you're actually developing a real game, and they're crowdsourcing it. Dun, dun,
nice.
Dun,
dun, dun.
What a twist!
Yeah, your Skyrim sucks. Your Skyrim is weird. I enjoy
starting mission where you go into that first dungeon, go after the Golden Claw.
Yeah.
Very beginning of the game, I almost died of exhaustion from lack of sleep doing that dungeon.
That's crazy. But that doesn't make sense. Like, it's not that large a distance to walk. And
that's because I hadn't slept in a little while.
Okay.
Like, I had done some traveling before going in there.
All right. And is there, like, a camp system? Can you throw down a camp and sleep?
Okay. I can throw down a camp. I can throw down tents. And there are different kinds of tents. There are some tents that are meant for the rain, some that are meant for snow.
Nice. So it's like they're taking cues from Red Dead. Like, okay, I can see where you're coming from. It's like
my Skyrim is not so much a fantasy action RPG as it is a light survival sim.
I'm sorry. I'm just going to interrupt you for a moment.
With dragons.
And this is a Skyrim based tangent, but Mr. Noobarama, who pulled out of this podcast because he has had to get his clothing together for a funeral, right? Just logged into Skyrim. I hate that guy. I hate that guy, asshole.
Sounds like normal now.
Yep.
That but bastard.
Well, does this add value, jumping back into Skyrim, does this add, like, for the whole getting a horse or using the carriage system?
Makes I modded carriages, so you have to sit through the whole thing just like Red Dead.
Wait, can you drive
and there's
it like
no
Red
fast
Dead?
Travel.
So you can't fall, like, but you're not hindered by sleep or fatigue or anything.
I don't know. I've never used one yet since I installed those mods. I assume it might be still a problem. I know those mods communicate.
Do you drive them? Do you drive the carriage? No?
You just sit in the back.
What's that?
I guess it's more similar to taxi cabs in Grand Theft Auto 4.
Or like, what's his face? L.A. Noir, where you're sitting in the side carriage or of the car while your partner drives it. That's a good. Yeah. That was a good game, man. L.A. Noir was a good game.
A lot of people on the mumble would disagree with you.
Well,
but I agree.
If you stop out at the right time, like if you stop after you find the serial murderer, that would have been an amazing game. Like if they just ended it there, it would have been great. But after that, you get advice, and yeah, that game was awesome.
It was good.
It was amazing. I had a party where I brought L.A. Noir to my friend's house, and he had his PS3 there. And I popped it in, and we all sat down on the couch and we played like the first two missions or three missions of that game. And the entire time we were like, we kept the notifications as to whether you guessed right or wrong on, so you could hear whether you're right or wrong. And it was essentially like a game show where all of us were like guessing or like debating whether the dude was lying or not. And it was like that good.
That sounds like a very interesting way to play that game.
It was fantastic because, well, first I found out that I was really good at telling if like a video game character was lying or not, which is fun. But like aside from that, it was really fun because like some people would be like legitimately convinced that someone was telling the truth, and you'd have other people be like, no, like did you see like how he did that thing with his eyes like halfway through, and then, yeah, it was fantastic. If anyone has the opportunity to play that game that way, like with their parents, like invite your parent along.
Yeah, for them it could be like a whole episode of Law and Order.
Yeah, like a full on episode, and you can do the playing.
So an interactive have to, like, episode of Law and Order.
Yeah, like they don't have to like
Wolf could make a lot of money on that.
And you can just totally, I bet you can win some people over to how awesome gaming is in general, just by how good that game is if you experience it in the right way.
Like, I think it's hard way to convince them with that game, since that kind of game is not common.
Yeah, yeah, Cynic, not common. What you should do is right after playing that, or right after like having everyone sit around and make those arguments about whether he's lying or not, mm-hmm. you guys should play Werewolf or Mafia, which are pretty much the same.
Oh, yeah. Thing. Yeah, well, they're the like Werewolf is that card game, right?
Well, it's a loosely based card game where everyone has a card, but they don't reveal it. Mm-hmm. But it's all about somebody in the circle of people playing is basically a werewolf or someone who's out to kill everyone else.
Yeah,
but if the player is the werewolf and you kill the werewolf, what happens to the game?
The village is saved.
Everyone's what happens to L.A. Noire when no one's playing it because the player had to leave?
Well, like I said, you'd after L.A. Noire.
Oh.
Oh no.
Wait, I thought we were doing it like at the same time and having to double it up.
Oh, God. Oh, God. That would be kind of interesting.
That,
but I think
that would be an Iron Man mode.
What would be cooler is, like, I know Werewolf is a pretty cool concept, but it's kind of a derivative of an even earlier concept, which has been around for years and years and years, which is the murder mystery. Like, have you heard of those parties people hold where they legitimately hold a murder mystery?
Room murder. Oh, I forgot what the term is.
Yeah, the term.
I haven't heard those, but I've heard I've always wanted to do when I have a party. People come over is like they get a note card and an item like a squirt gun or something, and it's the note card has someone's name and a room, and it's more or less contract killing in a party.
Awesome. That's cool. So that's like playing, it's like playing that game, the ship, or like Assassin's Creed, but in a party. And stuff like that is really fun, but it involves the audience being willing to invest themselves. Like if you're playing shit like that, whether it be the L.A. Noire thing or Werewolf or whatever, but you're playing with people who aren't interested, then that can really ruin the experience.
Yeah,
but
if you find the right interested guy, can really ruin it.
Yeah, but if you find the right people, it could be freaking awesome. And same with Cards Against Humanity, because if you play cards with, because Werewolf, for those that don't know, I think was developed by the same dudes who do cards, right? Same guys?
No, but the cards were made by Max Temkin.
Yeah, okay. Max Temkin is working on like a 50th anniversary of Werewolf, or like he's trying to bring in Werewolf.
Werewolf has been around for a while. I did not know Werewolf has been around for that long. I thought it was like a new
80s. Oh yeah, it's a popular convention game.
Oh cool.
Went to conventions, you'd know this.
I don't go. Well, I
know this because Third talked about it, and then I looked it up on.
Dude, Supernova happens all over Australia. PAX Australia. Come on, man.
I know, but it's a convenient excuse, so I use it. Can you blame me? No, I don't see myself.
Yes, I can't believe I just did.
I don't see myself ever going to Supernova. Maybe if PAX Australia is good this year, I'll go next year. It's sold out anyway, so I have like no qualms about not going.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah.
So I guess capping off Loopy, anything else you've been up to, sir?
No, not really.
Just Guild Wars.
Been playing around with a new build on my Mesmer, which is super crazy and weird.
Oh, yes, the Mantra build, which I'm surprised.
The Mantra Healer build.
Hell yeah.
And
people used to play with that in the beta.
Really well.
we used to do that in the betas, and it's better than a Shout Warrior has ever been. It can be like incredibly good, but like it's pretty hard.
In a level 80 area with all my stacks of life, I can heal you about 8,000 every 10 seconds.
Yep. It's, yeah. Well, actually, that sounds lower than it used to be. It used to be 2,000 per mantra or so?
It's 2,600 plus half your healing power every time you cast a mantra.
Okay, so they upped the amount.
And they reduced the cast time on mantras.
Nice.
So you can pop it off even faster.
Yeah.
But I also have Rune of Water. So when I cast my healing power, my healing skill, it has another couple, 1,000 on top of that.
They're cool.
Then all my armor and stuff.
Wait, are you doing this in PvE or are you doing this in PvE? Okay, PvE. Cool. I can see it being useful. I can see that being useful for PvE. Kind of fun. And with that, I've been watching the Xbox event and the fallout from that. That's all I've been doing the whole week.
Before I watched that event, I rewatched the Sony one so I could multiply my disappointment.
I wasn't disappointed by the Sony event. We put out a podcast, so you know I wasn't disappointed by the Sony event. But like, if you go back to that event after watching the Xbox event, I think a lot of people did this on NeoGAF, and there was actually a thread about people rewatching specifically like the Mark Cerny part of the Sony event. Yeah. And I think the standard reaction was after that Xbox event, the Sony event was like good sex. Oh my god! Anyway, we have an episode about the Xbox event. Last week's Scotchcast, you can go listen to it there. So, for what it's worth, that event was trash. Anything else?
We done for the week? Well, you've listened to the Bombcast for this week, right, Cynic?
Yes, I have.
Mainly just Ryan Davis, because Ryan Davis on the Bombcast, and then Ryan Davis was on this week's Idle Thumbs.
Mm-hmm.
Both podcasts seem to paint a not terrible picture for the Xbox.
I think very specifically the media took to heart, because 3 days before the Xbox event, what's his face? Aaron Greenberg? It was either Aaron Greenberg or Major Nelson specifically stated that there'd be very few games at the Xbox event.
That does not excuse it from being boring.
Some people like me and Duren didn't think they would go as hard no games as they did. We were like, yeah, I know they're saying no games, but that means like, you know, it'll just be like a lower focus, but there'll still be a couple of games there.
Here's the thing. They went low key with it. No games and all that.
Yeah.
But they still broadcast it on Spike TV.
Yeah. And
that's where because Apple makes announcements Google did their press reveal about Google Glasses, they didn't announce that to the world. That was mainly for developers, so no one was really pissed about that.
Yeah.
But Wade is like, oh, we're doing this on Spike TV for and millions of people around the world watching.
See the newest Xbox gaming console. Games.
There's the reaction from that, because you have on all of the Xbox's YouTube channel, Xbox's official YouTube channel, they've had to disable comments because you have videos with 100,000 views and 50,000 dislikes. You have this huge groundswell of community feedback, let's just say, over this event. But on the other side of things, why it pisses me off so much is because their statement was this is going to be a hardware focused event with very few, with all the games saved for E3. I'm like, okay, that's sure. And me and Duren took that into account when we discussed what we thought the event would be. But the way they did it was the single worst way this was the worst conference I'd ever seen in my life. This is the single worst gaming conference.
It was just so boring.
I've ever seen.
A lot of people said that.
And why I'm angry, well, not angry, but why I was disappointed was because if you, for example, took that same statement, we're going to do a hardware-focused event with very few games, but put in Sony's content, look at the first hour of the Sony press conference. It was Mark Cerny talking about the hardware, Knack shown, the stuff about Gaikai and Killzone. And if you just took that hour, that's it, and put that instead of the Microsoft event, it would have been a good event. It would have been a perfectly fine event. Maybe put a sizzle reel off the other games they showed, and that's it. Cut off the second hour of that event. It would have been awesome. But that was because Sony focused on video gaming and hardware shit to do with video games. But Microsoft talked about hardware, but their hardware has nothing to do with video games. Anyway, we talked about this too much for they can cut.
Yeah, I guess the main thing is I can't wait till E3, which is like in the teens. It's
14
now.
Days. 14 days, I think.
At the now. Time of this recording. Good Lord.
Something like that, yeah. Something like that.
There's going to be so many games, hopefully.
Yeah.
Over hopefully 101 games.
Mm.
Which not people, games. It's that's a ton of games to have on a console.
Not enough games. Need more games.
That's an inside joke for people, just Giant Bomb premium members.
Indeed.
Member, so I did not.
I
get
have.
That.
We're doing what's his face? We're doing plugs now, right?
Well, I briefly over what I've been playing, I guess.
Okay, sure. Oh God, I keep I keep.
Hi, I'm on this show too.
I keep expecting this podcast to end at any moment because we were like, oh, we're just going to make this like an hour show, and it's like an hour 20. But yes, yeah. Absolutely. Go ahead.
Main thing, like I've done like a little bit of Arma with PC Gaming Hub. The new Brahma is definitely the worst of them. I mean, like he's in Skyrim right now. The rest of them are just a bunch of like English and mainly English people who are just like
this always, cool dudes.
Yeah, drunk, dark humored people.
Yeah.
But yeah, very nice. So yeah, had a fun time with them. The big thing that memorable thing for this week, played it, like I've done a little bit of Metro, but I haven't gotten through that yet. I played a Left 4 Dead mod called Dnieper. I can't pronounce it. It's the river in the Ukraine, and it's basically the whole Left 4 Dead. It's a whole Left 4 Dead campaign that this French team has been working on for, I think, like 2 years. They've thrown in like over 200 new models, 400 new textures, and it's creepy. It's spooky.
Nice, and
it still has the Left 4 Dead like shooting like aspect and all that. Mm-hmm. Did I play it with you, Loopy?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. I'm pretty sure I did.
Remember? It ended terribly. We just rage quitted.
It's been a long week. Yeah, and that end is rough. It's a heartbreaker. But everything up to that is like there's definitely some spooky parts to it, and I guess that'll be my plug. We're just gonna transition into plugs, but it's
awesome.
If you have Left 4 Dead and three other friends, get everybody to download that. Spend like 15 minutes trying to get the match set up, and then have fun with it. Change it to normal.
So is it actually scary, or is it more spooky and creepy?
Some good claustrophobic moments.
There's really good claustrophobic. Like they definitely play. There's like a subway sort of look and feel, so very claustrophobic. There were times where we weren't sure if, like, was this a scripted thing or was this the director AI just pulling these jump scares on us?
I curse the director so much.
That smoker that just, like, jumped out at us out of nowhere.
Nice.
Yeah, just open the door. I was like, oh!
I was like, oh, geez. But, yeah, and then, like, they do a decent job of, like, there's a part where you're going through a mall and it's completely dark. And it's not like a grandiose mall like in Left 4 Dead 2. Yeah. It's one that's like renovations. Like always, everything is under renovations in Left 4 Dead. But the main thing with that is you turn the lights on in sections and they're only on for like 20 to 30 seconds.
Cool.
And the level is still dynamic. So every time you run through there, you'll have to take a different path.
So yeah, that level starts out with a map on the wall. That map is a lie. Don't trust that map.
Yep.
Nice.
So it's Dnieper. It's way too many vowels for that name, but since it's based in Ukraine, I guess they like to have a lot of vowels.
Well, link it to me and I'll put it in the show notes.
Yeah, I will. Cynic, do you have any plugs for this week?
Absolutely. Thank
you. Do we want to plug New Brahma's stuff this week? What? I don't.
No,
dude's in Skyrim.
No, he's in Skyrim. What an asshole. I want to say that if anyone out there was a fan of Giant Bomb during the Whiskey Media days, so before they were bought over by CBS, they're aware of a website called Screened.com. Screened.com was a sister site of GiantBomb.com, which talked about movies, and specifically, it had a man named Matthew Rory on it, and another man named Alex Navarro, both of which now work for GiantBomb.com after ages and ages and ages of being apart. So the two have gotten together and pretty much started over the Screened.com podcast, currently entitled the Untitled Giant Bomb Movie Podcast. It's for premium only, obviously, because it's a movie podcast on a video game website. But it was like the best surprise of the week, especially after like all the depressing shit which happened after the like Microsoft press conference. I was like legitimately happy to see this awesome movie podcast coming back to life. So you can check it out.
On the giant. And then got super excited, and then you said premium, and then I got real sad.
Well, okay, and we've talked about premium members a lot for Giant Bomb. How much is it per month?
$5 a month.
$5 a month for a year. That's like, I think they cut it down to $50 a month.
It's $50 a month for the year, and if you come in and like in Thanksgiving, you can get like a year for like $30. So
yeah,
it's
and
such
usually like I think with a year they give you like a coupon or something to get a T-shirt too, right?
Yeah, not for the Thanksgiving thing, but for normally, yeah.
Yeah, it's like $35. Like assuming like, hey, you get a free T-shirt out of it, something tangible that is usually pretty cool.
Yeah,
those T-shirt designs have been fantastic.
Let's just put it this way: this week they put out like 5-6 hours of premium video content, and that's not even including the Daily Dota with Brad Shoemaker, because fuck that shit.
We're in agreement.
You know, it's
yeah.
I don't like watching it, but it's nice to hear Pasquale's voice and I guess Kessler.
Yeah, Matthew Kessler. They put out, and they have essentially doing an endurance run on there with Bioforge, which is like a fucking
Bioforge is amazing.
So it's if you miss endurance runs, they're essentially doing one right now on the premium stream. So join in, like don't sign up for the year if you don't feel like it, but like just give them $5. Have a look at what they have put up there for offer this week alone,
The amount of content you can get in a month for $5 is greater than the pizza.
Well, it's more like last week I think 2 weeks ago I went on and on and on about PlayStation Plus. And sure, PlayStation Plus gave me Infamous 2 for free, and I played that for like 25 hours. But that I actually get more content, just straight up hours of content out of GiantBomb.com premium service than PlayStation Plus. It's like one of the coolest like cheap content streams on the internet at the moment. And if you like Giant Bomb, there it is. But more importantly, the Untitled Giant Bomb Movie Podcast is now up. With Star Trek. They talk about Star Trek. They talk about Iron Man 3. This is so good. I was so happy. I was so happy to see that on there. So that's my plug for the week.
Cynic, I know we're still a long ways off, but I want you to consider it. Keep your, like, as you're going through all these videos, keep your eyes open. I want to put down as a nomination for premium video of the year for our, like, the Lincoln cast. Quick looks of the year at the end of the year sort of thing. The Bioforge 2.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Part 2. It's amazing.
And I don't think we'll be able to split those off. Like we have to include, because I actually have a folder. I got I put it into AVI Demux, which is my program I use just cutting down videos to size. So I have a folder with like the episode of Unprofessional Fridays, which is like the 2 to 3 hour long Friday show Giant Bomb does for premium members on there. And I cut out the Bioforge segment. And I call it episode one. And then there's been 2 episodes of Bioforge since then. So I have like a folder in my endurance run folder for Bioforge endurance run, inverted commas. And I think we can only nominate that as like a body of work, such as the Lord of the Rings trilogy, rather than like any individual video from those. So yeah, absolutely. It's easily early contender for best video of the year, let alone premium video. So yeah. Fucking awesome. Right on. Fucking awesome.
Loopy, any plugs for you, sir?
Not really.
Well, it works. I had 2, so premium and thing. So, yeah.
And with that, I think we'll call this, it's below average, but we got like roughly to hour and 20? Something like that podcast?
Today we're at an hour 20. Our average length is probably closer to like 2.5 hours, but sure. Yeah.
Yep.
We're doing good.
Hopefully next week, I wager next week they'll have we'll get some solid details on this patch and can talk about the Karka lagging us down probably.
Also,
I really like, hope it doesn't happen again.
I'm just psyched for June because that's gonna be the month where Josh Foreman's content comes out.
Yeah, and also like I've been slowly teaching Thurbleton how to do the editing shit for this podcast, so maybe one day you'll have a day on the podcast where everyone on knows what they're talking about when it comes to Guild Wars 2. So I won't be there. Maybe one day.
Requirement for the Lincoln cast: one person must not know what's going on.
It just wouldn't be a proper Lincoln cast.
Indeed.
Yep. All right. Well, we're out. Bye.